not get taped.
No.
Today is the park board meeting, Thursday, January 15th. Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Diedrich is absent. Dumanovic?
Here.
Hall?
Here.
Lane?
Here.
Forrestal?
Here.
Wilberg?
Here.
Ayala?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, introduction of our guests. Again, Tim is our superintendent of parks. Is here. Scott is here. Director of Parks, Tim, Superintendent of Parks, Scott. Shay is not here today, obviously, because he's on leave. And we have Ken Cook here from the City Council. No public comments. Take a look at the meeting. Oh, we did get this stuff, what, about Tuesday or Wednesday, right?
Friday, last week.
Really?
Yeah, I sent it out.
What did it say?
Thursday.
We did, okay. I had time to look through it. It was not as huge as it was last month, but it was good. So take a look at it. If you haven't, anybody can make a motion when you're ready. I've looked through them. It looked good to me, but it's up to everybody else.
I motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
I'll second.
Okay. Everybody want to make a motion?
Jorge made a motion.
Oh, you seconded
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tiffany seconded. Mm-hmm. Okay. Roll call, please.
Yes. Dumanovic?
Yes.
Hall?
Here.
Lane?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Here.
Wilberg?
Here.
Ayala?
Yes.
Again, the bills review.
Yeah,
the bills are lots of bills, but not as much as again last month. Again, I like the fact that they did color it into the yellow, which makes it a lot easier to see it.
Yep. A lot of stuff's going to be for Christmas.
Correct.
Holiday celebration.
Goes back, right, exactly. Any questions? I mean,
Cannonball Park.
Rather than go through the whole thing, can you point out some of the important things that...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A lot of it's going to be to athletics.
Yeah.
We're finishing up the athletic season. Holiday celebrations, the run, and just the festivities we did, Christmas stuff, Christmas decorations that we bought. And then a lot's going to be Cannonball Park. We installed that playground. There's a lot of bills related to installing stuff over there. So that's what most of the bills list on there.
Okay. You want to go over anything else on it that we always do?
We can actually. We'll do budget report after.
Budget report, okay.
List.
Okay.
You don't really have to approve.
We don't have to approve the bill.
All right. That's at a city council.
Everybody's okay.
It's more of a review. It's more for you guys to review if you would notice something out of the ordinary to be able to bring it up.
I guess just one question. It looks like the amount of money is spent on professional development or whatever is very low compared to the budget.
Yeah, and that'll kick up. So, I mean, professional development, trainings, things of that nature. So we sent 3 people to professional development school back in November. We're sending 8 to IPRA conference in January, so that'll increase that line item just because 8 of us are going to go downtown Chicago, spend the night, hotel, conference, so that's going to go up. And then Scott and I are working on some trainings for park staff that they can do as well. I know he just sent 1 employee to playground safety.
Yeah, CPSI, so he went through the training and testing for that and passed the test. And then we have a guy that's going to be going end of the month to get his Class A CDL. So you'll see some additional dollars spent there.
So it's pretty hard for us because the way the budget starts May 1st, it's like May through October is really busy for us to be sending staff to trainings.
We also send somebody for arborist training.
Yeah, so you'll start to see that training line item go. And hopefully, we're trying to put together, plan together better to address the needs, the training needs of the staff, make sure we're hitting them as quickly as we can.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that money is well spent.
Yep, right. It will be.
For sure. We have to hear about a new staff, though, too, correct? So, right, it doesn't take a while to get on the train.
Yeah, a couple of them. Right. So I know, like, last year, Scott, we focused a lot of staff on getting OSHA 10 training done, which we did, and then getting everyone in parks. We're trying to make sure they have their CDLs. Like he said, we're upgrading one of them so they can drive a bigger truck.
Now, can you do that when you want to, if you have to do it on a schedule where they schedule you to take these tests and to go to school?
No, it's during work day. So you'd have to
leave. Could it be any? I mean, it's like, is it classes all the time, or is it just per month? Or I'm just saying,
so when I send someone for a CDL, they're gone for a month.
Really?
They're gone. That's how long it takes now. Illinois passed a law about 2-3 years ago, whenever it was. It's you have to have 160 hours of classroom instruction / driving.
Is that Class A?
Class B or Class A. Our guys were getting their B. Now, we have, most of our guys have their A. We have a couple that don't, so we're going to take those guys back to get their A. That only takes 40 hours.
So you have to, how many hours is on road, or is it, classroom?
Both. But that's state mandates you have to have 160 hours of training.
Right.
Yeah, they changed it about 2 or 3 years ago. Oh, I said, with me, I didn't have to do that.
No, I don't do it either.
So that's a, and it's not cheap. It's $5,000.
Oh, kidding.
So, yeah. So, but then last year or the year before, we spent like $20,000 on getting CDLs for our staff.
But this year, like, the playground safety thing was, like, 3-4 days, and then a test.
Yeah, well, months of study. And then the arborist thing was attending class at night, online class, and then we have some other online certified infielder stuff going on.
Did they get paid for that, though, or no? If they're doing it online, if they
own. We flex their time. Or
depends. So this was a foreman, so he's salary.
Okay.
So we usually adjust the hours. Right. If it's union guys and they're doing overtime, we have to pay the overtime. Right. So it just depends. But then, like, on the recreation side, there's, like, a professional development school in November. We send them all through. That's, like, a 3-day course. It's a 2-year program, 3 days. In November, they go. We're trying to get everyone through that. And then we have our annual conference in the end of January where a lot of us will go down to downtown Chicago where they have trainings and things of that nature. So,
well, I think you have to have the best people you can and train them. That's what we're here for. And that's why you guys are so good, because you do train them.
And there's also
the state.
Sending, you know, like, to conferences and stuff. There's also the benefit of meeting other staff members, getting connections.
Sure.
You know, we have a child who has a brittle bone disease in our preschool program. Like, being able to reach out to people and be like, has anyone dealt with this? What are the, like, what do we need? How can we get help? Things like that. It really comes into huge to have connections throughout the field to be able to reach out to people.
Sounds good. Any questions at all that you want to ask them about?
But on the budget itself, I have a December report here, so we're a little behind. The one thing, and I mentioned in the past, what I really like is this shows last year's, and then this shows where we're at this year. So you can see, like, last year's special events, we were at 74, this year at 75.
Yeah.
Up a little bit, nothing huge, but, like, athletics, 271, 289, $17,000, that's a huge jump. I mean, you're talking, I mean, that's like 200 kids you're bringing through the program more. Another one I really like to highlight, if it's on here, is sponsorship and donation. Last year we were at 48, this year at 64.
Yeah.
That's really where we talked about at the last meeting, making a huge push for sponsorship and donations and trying to get that line item increase. Like, I think we have a lot of great parks, a lot of great programs. How can we get people not just involved, but help donating, want to be a part of that? That gives us more money to do more things. So those were the big ones I kind of wanted to highlight overall. I mean, it's really hard to compare year to year because the transfer from the city changes, so depending on it is. But, you know, last year we had a $24,000 deficit. This year we had a $255,000 surplus. So overall we're doing really, really well. I expect us we're going to have a strong surplus by the end of the year. Baseball, softball registration just started at the beginning of January. We're up 40 or 50 kids compared to where we were this time last year. Preschool had a great start. We have 100 spots. We already filled like 60 of them within the first week or two. So everything we're seeing is just our numbers are growing. And in theory, they should. The community's growing. We should be growing with it. So it's just really managing this now, making sure that we're keeping an eye on things and not letting anything that we can see a warning sign, make sure we're addressing it right away. So
you know,
overall, the budget's really well.
It just seems to me, though, that with the $255,000 surplus now is fantastic. And what do you expect for the end of the year?
It's hard to say, depending on how things go. I mean, we're through the biggest hurdles. You know, you get past hometown days, things of those nature that can really affect you. I would imagine we're going to have a decent-sized surplus by the end of the year. So, and a lot of that just has to do with stats for the managing stuff, increasing sponsorship, generating more revenue through the programs, things of that nature.
Yeah, it just amazes me. Like, you're not there to make money either.
No.
You're not here to make money. I mean, this is not something. The police department is not there to make money. The fire department, we're not there. We're there to service the community. And it would be kind of cool if we're even, but look how far you're in there.
Sure.
It's just remarkable.
So, I mean, it's, I think, one thing we pride ourselves on, Scott, Shane, and I, is making sure we stay within the budgets that's approved by the council, things of that nature. You know, unless you have a good budget, you can't really then do anything else. But to make sure we're just managing these things, and that's where staff everyone does a great job watching what we're doing. Now, I will say, like, if we have some money, we're going to go buy some things that we need that maybe we held off on. We'll wait to see what the budget's like. Scott's already mentioned he could talk about we're replacing all the kind of light poles in Riverfront Park. He can get that more details.
Yeah.
We'd like to invest in that to where it's better lights for the community, easier for staff to replace the bulbs, things of that nature. but that's a huge investment. You know, you're going
to
spend.
Well, I'd like to ask Ken a question then. Ken.
Yeah.
If we do very well, what is then? Do you give less to us, or is it? You know what I'm saying? If we do well, then well, you don't.
It works both ways, though. So if Tim needed to borrow more money,
correct.
That's how it used to be, actually.
Right. Yeah, so it's...
We never had it this way.
Yeah. It's never been an issue, because a lot of it, they'll transfer, they'll give us more capital, things of that nature, so it's not... You got to look at the budget with ours, it's a whole city thing, and how are you working together right. with everyone, so, you know, that's where you can go.
So making more money does not reflect that you're doing a great job, but they won't give you less money. So you will.
No.
There was a day where we were in the hole big.
Yeah, so. There'd be time. When I first got involved, we were like $100,000 in the hole that we had to borrow from the city per se. We had to pay them back. Right, so right. You don't want to be in those situations. but I mean, it's a part of my job is I'm being judged. And I say judged, part of my end of the year evaluation is how did you manage the budget and things of that nature, and how the staff manage the budget. So, I mean, the nice thing about surplus is it gives us a little flexibility as we get into March, April. Where Scott and I will sit down, in particular Shay, and say, okay, what are some big purchases we really need? Sure. And let's get those done. And so that way we're not necessarily going back to city council on the capital side asking for more money. But we're able to spend it within the budget we already have. Right. So there's a benefit when we have a good budget at the end of the year. You know, for us, and Scott, Shay, and I, we hold off on some of our purchases because we really want to get through hometown days to kind of make sure, okay, it didn't get rained out. We're $50,000 in the hole.
Yeah.
So there's some... It's a little skewed on the surplus because there's some things like mulch, things of that nature. Scott may have held off on it. He'll be like, hey, can I go buy this fence now? Can I go do this now? They'll be like, let's go do it. We know we're in the clear. So, but it's definitely good. Now, the good thing I think over the years working with the council, the board, especially with Scott and Shay, is we put this in place now where unless something really goes bad, this thing should run pretty well. You know, hometown days is the only one where you're investing so much money up front. If you got rained out 4 days, it would be a minor issue.
Right. All right, thank you.
One other thing there. So, Scott, like, when you go into the new building, will you have expenses that... Well, I'm sure you'll do it during this budget cycle if there's other expenses, right?
Well, so Eric, myself, and the assistant director sat down Monday, and then we're going to meet every 2 weeks, coming up with a list of what we think we need for that new building that wasn't included with the construction, and we're going to put something together and bring that to council.
But there's money in the construction.
Because we're under
building budget.
Because we're under budget. So
for
we
that, Ken.
Hold on. I didn't know if there are certain items that he was going to need.
There definitely
is. Oh, there definitely
we need a fork truck. I mean, there's a lot of things we need.
Yeah. There's going to be a significant amount of new purchases related to that.
There will be.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, so but that's in the budget. That'll come out of that separate budget. It won't necessarily come out of our budget.
Okay.
Right.
Any other questions? Okay. What's our next thing? Should we move on to the new business?
Yes.
I found this very, very interesting. You know, I'll be honest with you. I didn't know where half of these parts were. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I've been here 15 years. You know what every one of these parts is? I didn't. Do you know where they are?
Okay. Everyone should know.
But I mean, I did not know. And the naming of it was pretty kind of cool, too. I mean, how they came. So it was very educational for me.
So one of the things I've been on Scott's case a little bit over the last year, too, is like he's the only one that had really this knowledge about all the names of all the parks and things of that nature.
So cool,
one of the things I really wanted to get him and I to work on, and especially now that we've added some staff, we have a little bit more time to do these big picture things, is to say we need to put something together that we can have, that can go on the website, that we can easily update, but that has the history of every park.
Sure.
Because, for instance...
Who did it? It was very well done, very well written.
Well, Scott and I put it together, and then with the staff over on the website, our marketing sponsorship, I had them put this together, and then the sheets below with all the names, the history of the park, where they're located at, things of that nature.
Is it on our website then?
It will be after tonight.
Hey, really?
Okay, so,
awesome.
And it's also, this is like, these two pages are in our catalog. We put these in the catalog. Every time we put a catalog out, just so you know where the parks are. And then this is where really I was going to get Scott, working with Scott, and say, okay,
right. We
need to go, why is it named this way? Why was it this name given? Just get a little history about it. And so Scott really put together, sending me, hey, here are all 40 of our park sites. This is why these were the names. And then I just worked with staff to put this all together. And then there's some in here where we may want to reevaluate, not changing name, but some that don't have a name. We may want to start looking at those and say, do we want to name them? Or if somebody comes to us, hey, there was somebody that was a dedicated member of the community, do we want to look at it, where a park can be named at? But I really thought it was important to get this going first so that we had it. Because if Scott decided wins the lottery, we don't hear from him again, we were never going to know why these parks were named this way. Big picture, I'm hoping is like, I've got Steve Redman, who's kind of our rec admin person, going through a drone training class. I really want to get a drone thing. Scott's played with it a little bit with a GoPro. Is that I'd love to do is get a QR code, kind of like we did with the sponsorship. Get a drone of every park, of every trail, and you could then QR code, boom, and it would take a drone right to the park, to the playground. To go right to a trail, and you would see what the trail looks like.
That's awesome.
So this was just getting this done, and then we're going to start adding to that as we go.
Well, I thought it was very well done.
So
kudos.
Yeah, this was more just informational. Just wanted you guys to see it before we went out to the public with it. But like I said, we have 40 parks now, 28 of them with playgrounds. And we still have 3 in Grand Reserve that eventually we will have to...
30 playgrounds.
30, yes, that's right, 30 playgrounds. But we got 3 in Grand Reserve that still need to develop once they get plotted and everything like that.
Well, as a yam, thank you. Because that is like the biggest thing.
Yeah, it's great.
This will go up on the website tomorrow.
Are we thinking about going back on this, when the school is going to be put in, hopefully putting any parks over by the new school area down off of River Road?
We have no idea what their plans are.
Yeah, but is there any consideration at all down the line that they're going to put maybe 1 or 2 schools there or whatever, and we would put a park there like you have the one down at Raintree?
I don't think right now anything of ours would be on school district property.
Well,
like it hasn't really been.
I think that they're talking about both entrances for the new school campus will be off of the north side. That was the big discussion topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I wasn't there, so I don't know. But yeah,
that was huge.
That would be,
I don't really know all the details. My understanding is you're going to have like school and some athletic fields. I don't think there'll be like a playground.
Yeah, there's nothing in the plan for a playground.
Yeah.
Or tennis courts or anything like that.
Well, that could be athletic stuff.
Yeah, there, we change the tennis courts a little bit.
But
that'll be like school stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
But not.
Isn't it true that we though part of that football field is on our property too?
I mean, potentially, yes, but...
Well, all of that whole land... years ago, that whole land was IDNR property.
Okay.
The school land was IDNR property, and then as it was given to us from the state of Illinois...
Right.
Okay, it was kind of divided up. And then as they built things, yes, it is true that the football field kind of protrudes onto the piece that was designated for the city of Yorkville Park and for the recreation. Yes, that's true. But in the spirit of things, I think the whole idea is that, you know, the state gave us that land side by side to work together.
Oh, yeah, I think that we should work together with the school a little closer, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's, because of the size of the number of parks and stuff like that, and it's hard for me to say this, but I mean, should you... And I say, why? Should you have a policy for naming the parks?
We do.
It is.
We have an application, and it kind of gives criteria of what they want on the criteria for naming a park.
Okay.
Yeah. So there is some direction, and then it would still come to this board, and then it would go on to City Council.
I can
to be approved before.
I'll send that out to everyone. Right. The link to that.
A lot of these that are on here were approved by the Park Board and City Council a long time ago, and some of them were prior to criteria, and then, gosh, what was it, maybe like, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago, we did have an alderman that just wanted to name them all at once.
And I was on Park Board then.
And the Park Board didn't really like that idea, because they were just, you know, once they're named, you don't have the ability to rename them, and, you know, you want to kind of... So I think that's when they kind of came up with the criteria to say, we really want it to be somebody that's done something good for the community for a number of years. I think there was even some past park board presidents' names that got thrown out there that were told no.
Yeah, right.
I'll send the link out. And then that's something we can put on the park board in the next meeting if you guys want to review it and look at it, the criteria. for the name. I can bring that to the next part.
It is out there. I can't remember if it's on our website or not.
I'll get it and send it out to you guys, but then we can bring it out to the next part for me.
Yeah, it is. Wow. I think there's a policy.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. I know there's a policy because I asked Tim about it with Raintree.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get it to everybody.
Yeah. Well, I know that.
And then we'll bring it to the next part for me.
Because I understand about changing it. When I was a school principal many years ago, we changed the school's names.
Really?
And people were PO'd.
Yeah.
They went to that school no longer exists. They named it something that was popular there, a politician that was there, or whatever. And they're like, well, where was my school? My school's not around anymore. I never heard. So, I mean, I understand how important it is, and you can't really change it. You're like changing who was the president of the United States first. Oh, it wasn't Washington.
No, be careful with that.
So we can bring it up at the next meeting.
Okay,
look at it.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, and the reason I brought it up is because, yeah, you want to have some flexibility to do it, but at the same time, I mean, there may be some people that may want to have something done and really can't. And
we've had that request here before. We've had people come and want a park named after a person or, you know, and this board has kind of said we don't think it meets the criteria.
But you're saying there's a criteria, plus there's an approval process that involves the board and the council, which sounds to me like a thorough way of
There's criteria making it meet
the way it should be.
I think the last one we did was Coleman Park.
Yeah.
Which one?
Coleman, Windnet Ridge.
The tennis courts, right?
No, the pirate.
Yeah, we named the tennis courts for somebody.
We did. We named that was a Coleman also.
Yeah,
that was for the young man that was on the
he was on one of the 9/11 plans. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Sure.
Versus naming it for a park.
But instead of a baseball field for Ken what was Ken's last name?
Oh, I know what you're talking
about.
Ken Miller. You know, when he passed away years ago. But it was just a baseball field, not the park.
Okay. I think at the time the park board thought that was a better way of doing it.
Yeah.
Any other questions on that? We'll move on. Is that okay? Okay, the last one of the new business was Parks, Tree, and Bench Donation Program, which I thought was pretty interesting. More expensive than I thought it would be.
Yeah, so I guess Scott and I mean, we've been...
Oh, they've just gone crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the prices have gone up. We want to make sure that not only are we covering the cost of just buying it, but the staff time into it, too. And so we kind of explained in the memo things of that nature, just the new fee structure we wanted to do of increasing these fees. So, I mean, we're looking to increase the tree donation to $1,250, the bench donation to $3,000. I'd like to add a separate plaque-only one of $600. And then we really have never had any official rules or regulations. And, you know, going and looking at what other park districts do, I think it's important for us to have these. You know, one of the things, the issues that we really have ran into recently is people turning these things into a memorial, in which I really don't, I really don't think that's the appropriate thing for that. All of us have had some tragedy in our lives. I've lost a brother to cancer. Scott's lost a child. Like, we have a lot of sympathy to it, but, like, when someone gets a bench, then all of a sudden the bench is not being used for the reason it's supposed to, or the reason we have a plaque there. People have turned it into memorials. We just realized that maybe. And there were some other issues where somebody would come, hey, my tree died. Why didn't you replace it? Or, hey, a plaque from 30 years ago. I know Scott had that issue once where we didn't even know it was there. Yeah, we thought we need to have some rules that, like, hey, we're only going to guarantee 10 years on these things.
Can they redo it after 10 years?
If they want to, yeah, but it's not going to be...
We're not going to take the plaque away, but the issue is, you know, we have a really good plaque now, but, you know, like Tim said, if it's 10 years and a tree dies, you know, we aren't necessarily going to replace the tree.
But again, if I paid for the money, you can replace it.
If you wanted to contact us.
After 10 years,
yes.
Right? It's a renewal process in a sense?
Yes, yes. And that states that in here is that we're not going to contact you, but if you want to contact us and say, hey, I want to replace this, 10 years is coming up, great, we will do that.
Okay.
But I don't think it's going to be like 10 years is up and we're going to pry your plaque away from that tree or away from that bench.
But
that's not what we're looking to do either.
It guarantees that in 10 years, we'll make sure the bench is fine, the plaque's fine, the tree, we replace that. But once we get past 10 years, we're not going to guarantee.
But then if I renew it...
You go back on a new 10-year. Yes. Type thing.
And you will charge for the renewal.
Yes. Yes.
No.
Well, if like if it was a tree and somebody wanted to replace it, or if for some reason
it would be buying a new bench. You're not going to replace the bench if you don't if it's still good. We're not going to do anything with it.
Right. Correct.
But you still would want that renewal fee.
I don't know if we'd want a renewal fee. I think it would be it's just the bench is so bad. We're saying we're done with the 10 years. Do you want to buy a new one?
Perfect shape or decent?
We're not going to do anything with it.
Just let it go.
It would just keep
correct.
Just keep going. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Right. You know.
That makes sense to me.
Because you are doing maintenance, so I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, every year you are putting a little bit of money into it. So I mean, the renewal fee could be just okay. How much is the maintenance for
sure.
years? I mean, just an idea.
No, it's not bad. And we can reevaluate this. I just felt like we needed to get some rules and regulations. Yeah, we've just had nothing. and one of the things we will address right after this is like any of the places where we know they've turned into a memorial, we're probably going to contact them and just say, hey, these rules have been approved. We're going to remove these items that have been left there. You know, and just let them know that there's just new rules and regulations in place and that we'll remove these items if they're still there.
On the donation type, I mean, you put it for a tree, $800, and the minimum cost of a tree is.
Yeah, that's just the current form. We'll adjust the fees if it gets approved tonight.
Okay.
So that's just the current form in there. Yeah. We'll add a new plaque one, and then we'll adjust this to $1,250. Mm-hmm. This will go up to $3,000, and then we'll put a plaque.
Not out of line with what other cities are doing.
No, I don't think it is.
And honestly, since COVID, everything is just going crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
And then one of the things we approved at a previous meeting is like Town Square and like Riverfront are kind of off limits now. We've already jam-packed that. Everybody wants to go there. We understand it. We just don't have space anymore.
That's why we want to add the actual plaque alone.
Yes.
Because we had somebody that had a tree at Riverfront already, and they're like, I want to do another tree. And I'm like, well, Riverfront's not available. And they're like, well, but I did that for my sister, and my brother died. And I'm like, well, I want to buy it. I'm like, that's not possible. So he's like, can I put another plaque at that tree? At the same tree, I'm like, yeah, we could probably do that as long as you cover the cost of the plaque.
Exactly.
So instead of just saying no, I wanted to have an alternative for people.
So now, where are people putting these things? I mean, are they putting it at their local park, or where?
All over.
I mean, if Gene passes away, now where am I going to put? Would I put it in the park?
Can I have
something at Emily's Place?
We'll make an exception for Gina.
So when they come in with it, I talk to them and we talk about park selection. And if it's Riverfront or Town Square, I say those aren't available. You know, where do you live?
Okay.
Well, you know what?
So they can't demand a certain place.
Well, they try to.
They do.
Okay. And I'm sorry, we don't. Yeah, that's not available. But you'd be surprised if they're. Clark Park, there's several other parks. There's Crawford Park along the river. You'd be surprised. There's a lot of other spots where people have done tree and bench donations. So
usually when they submit it, Scott will call them and walk it through with them and kind of go over the parks.
And then I'll meet them on site at that park and say, okay, let's work together on finding a spot that might work for both of us.
I mean, in some cases, the location has a meaning connected to the memorial.
For sure, but like at Riverfront, we'd have 1,000 benches there, let me tell you.
Okay.
And it'd be a forest.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's just not possible.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we discussed that before.
Yeah, so, and Town Square is the same way. So it's just one of those things that it's just like, I understand where you're coming from.
Well, I'm not defending it. I'm just saying to some people.
No, that's why I tell people that I understand where they're coming from. And I say we have a lot of other lovely parks, too.
Right.
Let's talk about
it. Right. Any other questions? Okay, can we move on to...
I need to vote on this.
Oh, what are you voting on?
Approving the rules, regulations, and the new fees.
Make a motion.
I'll make... I didn't know if you were...
Go ahead.
I'll make a motion to approve the new tree and bench donation program application with the price adjustments and adding the plaque.
Second.
I'll still call.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know.
Okay. Hall. All right. I didn't know if you were really good.
It's all good.
Lane.
Yes.
Forrestal.
Yes.
Wilberg.
Yes.
Ayala.
Yes.
Dumanovic.
Yes, emphatically.
What are we doing next? That's it.
It's really, I just put in there the yearly report. So instead of a monthly report, we submit this to the mayor every year. So I just submitted this in the report this year so you kind of guys could see what we did throughout the whole year. The big thing I really wanted to highlight was we just found out right before Christmas we won an award through the Illinois Parks and Recreation Association for Glory Park and the special needs playground we put in there. So that's great for the park staff. The little Scott and his foreman are going to go down to the conference on Friday night and receive the award, take their picture, things of that nature. So that's really was great to see. This is now, I think, the third year in a row we've won an award through the Illinois Parks and Recreation Association. So it's really great to see we're starting to get our name out there a little bit more out in the Illinois Parks and Recreation world. Let people know who we are and all the great things that we're doing here. So really excited. Congratulations to Scott and his staff for getting that award. Scott can talk about some of the things. Hopefully you guys can get updates on the Parks Public Works building. I know we're actually probably closer to 60% complete now. Scott and I just, we have every 2 weeks a meeting over there. The windows are in. The office walls are in. Things of that nature. It's really coming together really nicely, things of that nature. I think we're hoping by end of June, beginning of July, it'll be done. We can move in there maybe by the end of July, beginning of August. So at some point soon, maybe we can take a tour over there, things of that nature, but it's really come along nicely. The only other thing, and I can let Scott talk about the park stuff since Shay's not here, the app. With registration, this is the first time where the app was in full force. And we had about 500 registrations since January. About 15-20% had gone through the app. So it's really great to see that the app is off to a decent start. I fully expect, you know, as we go through this over the years, more and more people, the app will be the way people are registering and getting their information. So that's really exciting to see the app, that people are downloading it and using it the way that we intended it for it to be. So, I don't know, Scott, you got some stuff you want to talk about with parks?
I mean, you feel free to read this stuff. I'll just kind of give you a glimpse of what's going on right now. So, literally today, we just finished installing Cannonball Park. It is open. So, if you want to peruse by, it's a little chilly, but we've got a little bit of landscape that we're going to have to wait till spring to do, but the playground has all been refurbished and all done. It looks pretty good. And then we received our new bucket truck. At the end of December, we were able to take the Christmas decorations down with
it. Nice.
And this whole week and last week, we've been down at Riverfront trimming the trees, and we've got into that, even that eastern area where we're actually, we dropped about 10 or 12 trees. I want to thin that out a little bit and let some of those other ones kind of come up.
Is that thinning out just to let more of a canopy and sun come through? Or
some of it's hazardous trees we're getting rid of, and some of it is that some of those trees that are below it now are getting enough size. We do want to let them get a little more sunlight. And a lot of those trees originally were just scrub trees.
So that's our new truck, bucket truck, or whatever you call it, in there right now. It
says your park and recreation on the side. I made sure it said that on the side.
Good.
So
I didn't walk back in. It's too cold, but I saw it there.
It is. So, and we had our new chipper out there, too, so we're feeding the stuff through, which is helping us speed up. And that's been really nice. And then staff just started tearing down the home run fences on Beecher baseball fields 1 and 2, and we're replacing them. Those were here when I got here. That's 34 years ago. Whoa. So it's time. They're 4 foot tall. They did. We got our. Well, we had to sleeve. We had to sleeve some poles over, broken poles. I mean, it was pretty ugly. So we're tearing them out, and we've got. So the guys are in process of tearing that out, and we're going to get those up here hopefully in the next couple of weeks. Get the new post and fence up. And it'll be a 5 foot tall fence too, which is really what it should be, not 4 foot. Yeah. You want to make sure kids can't like go back and get flipped over the fence. It should be a 5 foot fence. So, so yeah, I mean, we've, you know, a lot of people think there's not a lot going on in the parks in the winter, and it's when we have a lot of time to really not have to mow and do other things and get sports stuff ready. We can really focus on water maintenance. So.
Can I ask you about the Christmas trees? How did everybody take a look at the Christmas trees at the park over there? Mm-hmm. It was very, very well done. All the trees decorated to it seemed like it. Right?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, it was really. I think that's.
Yeah.
Super.
I think we were up to 50 this year.
We got a lot of compliments on that.
Yeah.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah. A lot of compliments on that.
Now, who can do that? Anyone do it? Like, if Gene wanted to do it.
I mean, it's first come, first serve.
Stash?
I think so.
Yeah, there were families, and then
it could be anybody. It just needs to be family-orientated, type family-friendly type thing.
Okay, so, I think that's what I'm saying. But it could be a business or something.
It was. There was businesses. There was organizations. There were families that did it.
Nice.
So, I mean, usually we'll go now, you know, last year, let them get first right of refusal if they want to come back. But I mean, I know Scott's not gonna like it, but I would love someday for the whole.
I was just gonna say, what about it? Well, expanding it around the
mid, so, just kind of like the flames of valor.
I told you how many extension cords we have.
I was gonna say, what's a lot?
It is, and Glenn, the electrician.
No, it's a lot of other stuff. It's,
I was wondering how you got that.
It's a lot of.
And definitely Glenn, the electrician, does not like it either.
Good job, really good. Yeah.
But we had a huge increase. I mean, when you think about, I think we had 25, 30, and you know, to have 50 this year, and we really could have more. Kind of turning people away at the end there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do. I definitely envision that you'll kind of go around the whole square someday. So I think big picture is we bought new decorations this year. We're going to just keep every year buying new decorations for there. And just really make
it's
it.
So okay.
And make something that's for the community to go out there and really enjoy. And it, I know it's a lot of work, especially for Scott and his staff, but when it's up, at least it's nice, it's up for a month. You know, and you can kind of enjoy it for an extended period of time.
Yeah, it was very beautiful. Was really
my kids love the reindeer because we have a smaller version, so they thought it was like the mama version of it. I'm like,
nice.
I don't think so. But
the idea is to create picture taking opportunities.
That's what we're trying to do. And it was cute.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do.
The candy canes I thought were kind of cool the entrance in Town Square, things of that nature. So we're definitely looking to continue to expand at Town Square and Riverfront and more decorations.
How's it going over there with the stuff we bought, the land we're going to be able to, you know, right next to Dakota's there? We bought that land, are we still able to?
I mean, I still think, I think a lot of that is just, we didn't get, they got one grant, I think, correctly, Ken, do the outskirts, like along the road and things of that nature. I think some of it is just, we didn't get the grant for the actual gravel area, so, I think it just depends on some things with the city budget, things of that nature. I still know it's on the mayor's.
The water lines had to be done too.
Yeah,
before we
and the water line
invest anything in it.
Right, had to be done behind the east alley there, behind what businesses I can't even think of them now.
The vault and
Rowdy's. So I know they had to like tear that all up and stuff like that, but I think it's definitely on the top of the mayor's mind is to get that area done. But I think not getting the grant has kind of put us behind a little bit.
Anybody else? I had a couple other things to say. I know you want to get out of here, but what about flags? You know, one of the things that I was reading somewhere about the fact that we're going to increase it by having flags that put on posts.
Are you talking about banners?
Banners, yes, you call it. To make extra money to kind of publicize that.
Oh, the flags along the streets?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we briefly talked about it the last meeting. Just due to the timing, we just need to go get city council approval.
Is it worth it? I mean, I'm looking at it because you have to put up the stuff. I mean, is it, how much money are you going to make on it?
I think long term we'll get money back.
Okay.
Yeah, are these seasonal banners?
So they'll go on the light poles in the downtown.
I understand, but
they'll go up, like, say, at Margaree's a mile, like in May, and then they'll stay up, say, until Scott puts up the Christmas decorations. And then we had to buy just the post for it. Mm-hmm. But you're also not only going to have sponsorship opportunities, we're also working with the school district on artwork so that they'll highlight things. And it's just kind of.
So is it just to beautify it or to make some money?
Both.
And I think it can slow traffic down going through 47 because something. I don't mean in like a grand scale. I just mean a little bit because if you blink and you're not from Yorkville, you're going to scoot right through downtown and all those businesses get lost.
Yep.
You know, if you have that little bit, maybe I'll turn around.
Or 2 yards in the road.
You know,
Oswego does it. They call it Look Up Oswego.
But where is that? Where is that, though?
I think there's more in
the downtown.
It's in their downtown.
Yes.
I mean, you know, come on.
I think the hope is once we get that.
You got both sides of, you know.
But I think once you get that area that you're talking about in the downtown, the gravel area, cleaned up, and then we would go down Hydraulic Street and start doing that over there, stuff like that.
Okay.
I think long term, it's a one-time purchase of the equipment, and then you start getting sponsorship. You will make money in the long term over this.
Okay, I'm just wondering because it seems like how much was the rental of the car to rent that wasn't that much, right?
No, it was like $8,000 or $9,000 to buy the equipment.
To buy the brackets.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then how much was it to put up the?
We'll put them up ourselves.
Yeah, no, but how much was the? How much did I have to pay to put my name up there?
It's like I want to say like $1,500, $2,000, but some of it may depend on different things that you do. So like we'll earn like what's all said $1,000 per okay. one. Okay. Now I don't know how many we'll sell in the first year. I think over time you will continue to sell these.
Yeah, okay.
So I think you will easily get your money back plus profit.
I like trusting that one because that one. Little, yeah. I'm not sure about it.
I think it would be very successful.
That one. I don't know if that would be worth it.
But it was part of also the master plan of the downtown to do really something like this and to beautify and make it a little more friendly as you're going through.
The last thing I would say is, you know, someday we should visit some of the parks. I mean, I know we can do it on our own, which I do.
We used to have a
whole Saturday.
What? I mean,
we used to do a whole Saturday where we all went, the park board went.
With Scott.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, the whole board used to go out
yep,
in the van.
That's what I thought.
And
the van.
We go. We didn't go to all parks, but we would pick, you know,
we probably had
dozen.
20 then, though.
Oh, you're right. Definitely.
We would do it when the weather gets good. We can look summertime. Is anybody in for that? I mean, to take a look.
Sure.
Because, I mean, I go past them, you know, when I'm around. And I go, I don't know, there's a park there. And just to see, get the feel of it, you know.
And just keep in mind, too, that I'm always available. If, you know, a small group wants to go, we can jump in the escape and go look at those too.
There's better weather though.
Yeah. But I mean, sometimes though, getting out in the winter, it's neat to see some stuff in the winter too.
That's where
it's different. So, but yeah, if anybody ever wants that, I'm more.
I think
than
in the summer though,
out,
I think
guys,
we should go as a group in a sense, so we can just kind of feed off each other and get the ideas.
Well,
and that's
we,
nice.
We used to do that.
Yeah. One more thing I'll say. That a person came up to me about the park. Was that the park with the new color problem?
Cannonball,
all right.
Oh, yeah, it looks great. Go drive by.
The
colors are great.
The person saw it. It was a neighbor and hates him. I mean,
really?
Yeah, she came up to me and she said, what's this color? I like some color. It looks so, and she's...
Oh, it's not out. It's not
she didn't,
crazy bright or anything.
No, but she didn't.
Not at all.
She didn't like the color, no. She just thought it was too
bright?
Not bright enough.
Oh, it's still too muted?
Yes.
Yeah,
he's very upset about it.
Yes.
So I just want to jump.
I think it's a happy mix. How about that?
I think it's a mix. It might not be a happy mix.
Key words,
a mix. Right?
Our kids were excited. Can't wait to get on it.
They were. It's good. I just think the colors, I mean, I'm just saying what the lady said. She lives three doors down.
If you take them, get some pictures and send them to Tim, because I think at some point we want to do like a ribbon cutting. It'd be great to have those put on the website.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
So if you go, it's open now. So if you go over there, and there's some neat stuff.
Okay.
Really don't do
stuff.
Tonight.
It's a lot of cold. Much improved over what was there, I think.
Maybe wait till the next 40-degree day.
Yeah.
Which might be in 3 days or something.
Yeah, you never know. My kids were there, like at all the parks when it was
you
nice.
You mentioned last time
cool.
Some teams trying to use some of the fields. I didn't know if anything we talked about. You know, another team using some of the.
No, nothing changed from this last meeting.
Okay.
So, and we're just really kind of at the beginning of stages of our registration. So I wouldn't even know would be available for a few for at least another month.
Okay.
But nothing. It would have to come back to this board to have any approval. So, but nothing's changed.
Okay.
Other than what we approved at the last meeting.
Okay. Okay, because if we want to request, can we request a couple of days? Or?
You can still request.
Yeah.
I'm just, okay. It would be at least till the next meeting before we would even know.
Okay, great.
Anything else? Any other questions?
One last thing.
Yes, sir.
You might notice we're changing some of our park lights over to LED for a couple reasons, right? So the old high-pressure sodiums have ballast and everything else, and they're more expensive to fix, they use a lot more energy.
Right.
So, and they're also kind of that yellow-orange light. Riverfront's a great example, right? But we went out and we relamped all of Rotary, all of Whispering Meadows, and then a couple of our... Town Square has been relamped for a number of years. But we're going to probably, with the budget surplus, talk about maybe taking $5,000 or $6,000 and getting new globes and taking all of Riverfront to more of that LED white light.
Is it cheaper on... cost too?
It drops your consumption by probably 75%.
It's more expensive to purchase it, correct? Yet.
No,
it's not.
No, because the ballast, if you got to go put a new ballast and bulb in those, it's about what it costs to just put an LED bulb in.
Okay.
You don't need the ballast for LED bulb. The LED bulb is about $75.
Okay. How long do you last? A long time.
Oh yeah, but we get ones that are really large. That's why, because you want the lumens.
Lights. Yeah, right.
But then, because of the old high pressure sodiums, do cause the globes to kind of get yellow.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Where the LED won't. So we're going to buy new globes. The new globes are a little pricey, but we need to replace them anyway.
Got to do it.
Scott, is the goal to get a brighter light? Does light illuminate stronger?
It's in the eye of the beholder, right? It's like kind
no,
of.
No, I'm
like,
asking you from the.
Well, I would say it's really hard. I think if you ask half my parks guys, they like it. If you ask my other half, they don't like it. So I think it's just a different light the way your head's. It's hard to get a lumens to lumens comparison from a high pressure sodium to, because your eye sees it differently. So I think Town Square looks a little darker than it used to when it had high pressure sodiums, but I think it's a softer light on your eye. And I think the neighbors probably do appreciate it.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's more of a white light versus a yellow light. Yeah. So just in how your eye sees it.
Wasn't there a big thing about which way the lights are facing? You don't want, I can't remember that. This is a couple years ago. You should have your lights facing up or down for some reason.
There is a reason, right? They want to help you contain it, so they want you to put like a lid on it, so it's called a night sky. But
there we go.
In our parks, we haven't really ever done that. We just use an ornamental and let it shine because we want the light to kind of illuminate everything around it. That's kind of what we do in park. It's a little different than a street light because you're just trying to light up a road versus a large area.
Gotcha. Okay.
But the big thing is, again, it drops your electric use by like 75%.
Yeah,
and that's something we should be conscious of.
Sure.
Sure.
Any other questions or additions or subtractions, anything that we have?
I got something. Not only do I, and I think I speak for everyone, we appreciate thoroughly the monumental effort, to operations, to budget, to ideas, and launching things off the ground, because that takes a ton of time and effort and money to do that. But it's led to such good things, the app, for example. I really like the analytics that, we're starting to monitor for events and social media and those things. I think that's very telling. It's good to have that, that movement, that enthusiasm. The growth, in programs and registrations and, rentals and sponsorships. And I really appreciate the detail in the reports and the communications, just to keep, like they're mile markers, right? How are we doing? Which way is it going? It's a segue into just a couple quick questions. I hope, I was curious if, there are any, front of mind problems or challenges for 26, 27 that, we really need to think about, aside from, a pending retirement.
I'm good for a while, guys.
Okay. And then the second thing is with all the growth, I just, every so often I like to check in and ask if there's any thought being given to membership in a SRA, Special Recreation Association, with all the growth. And if not, I would ask that, we put some time down the road to explore.
It's definitely
that
at the top of our list.
Yeah, okay.
So just so everyone knows, a Special Recreation Association is kind of a separate park district per se that deals directly with special needs kids. So the one for us here would be the Fox Valley Special Recreation Association. There's, say, 6 or 7 park districts that give money to that Special Recreation Association, and then they handle all the special recreation needs for the park districts. It is definitely something that I've pushed relatively hard in every budget meeting of saying this is something we need to be a part of. Hiring one person to just help with special needs does nothing. An SRA can deal with everyone from basically birth to death. There's a wide variety of programs they offer, things they do. As they get adults, they'll take them on trips all over the world, things of that nature. But you really can't access that unless you're a member of it. And to give you an idea, to be a member, you're talking about a $100,000 initiation fee and then probably $100,000 a year, every year afterwards.
That's not that outrageous.
But to hire a staff member, Dan, would cost you.
Right.
Correct. That's not as crazy as you think it is.
No, yeah. And you can't, one person cannot provide all the things they can do.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So, And it's not just programs. It gives them the ability for families to connect with other families, right, to get other information. As someone with a special needs child myself, it's things about how do you tell a kid, a special needs kid, no, how finances, things, government programs, things of that nature. There's all kinds of avenues to go down. So,
how does the city feel about that?
I mean, I think it's the money program.
We when I was on Park Board in 2010, we looked into it.
Yeah.
And I think what we came to the conclusion was, after we did all the sorting out, was that they offered us some kind of a partial membership then, right? And we were able to take advantage a little bit of that, like a scholarship or whatever you want to call it.
We're working on it. There are scholarships we do where if someone comes into us and says, hey, I would like to go do this program over there, we'll pay the difference between the non-resident and resident rate and things of that nature. So we do work with some families on that. But it's definitely something we're looking into, Sash.
Yeah,
it's
just, that was 15 years ago. So.
It's definitely, it's brought up in every budget meeting and we're figuring out ways to do it.
Yeah.
So I think one of the first steps was just getting this all-inclusive playground in Rotary Park. That was the first step of showing the needs and things of that nature. So I think there'll be some opportunities here for us to seriously look into that more.
Yeah.
And not just showing the need, but to show that we know you're out there.
Right.
Yep.
And I think...
I agree.
It's important.
Back to Elizabethtown, just because they had they do a lot of tournaments over there, because they have a special needs. I think they just made a field just for that, baseball field. And I'm like, dude, I will support you.
I can say the number one thing, even when we revamped Cannonball Park, it's at the forefront of my mind, it's at the forefront of my foreman's mind who runs the playground division, is how can we make this better for ADA?
Sure.
You know, we're already thinking about, Sunflower is going to be on next year's budget. We're already thinking about, how can we get that wheelchair accessible?
Yep.
Not just, through a transfer platform. So it's forefront in our minds. There's a bigger population out there of special needs people than most people know.
But, just give you an example. We have a brittle bone kid in our preschool program. And I was at the Christmas celebration, and the grandpa came up to me and was just like, thank you. Even through St. Jude, they're like, we had nothing for him. We would go to even St. Jude, which is over in Oak Park, I think, and they're like, they didn't really have any programs. The fact that you guys were willing to accommodate this child into the preschool program, it has just been awesome for my daughter and her husband and the kid.
That's very telling.
And it was like they had nowhere to go and they wanted to get him into something. And, we had to spend some money. We had to bring a staff member in who's going to just strictly assist that child through, the 2-3 days a week as he comes. But as Dan's mentioned, we're more than just about the bottom line sometimes. Right. And that was saying to preschool staff, figure out a way, let's make this work.
Yeah.
And, and the kid's one of the best kids, so happy, walks in and, there's some challenges because if you don't know Brittle Bone, he can crack a bone at any moment.
You have a teacher aid with that child.
Every day.
Okay, that should be.
We have to have
it. I mean, understand too, the park award we got was because our park was inclusive. That's why we got it.
So when you go to Rotary, we're going to continue addressing. It's just keep moving that goalpost is really what we're trying to do.
We should publicize that too.
100%.
I was just thinking the same thing.
100%.
Somehow you need to.
I will.
We need some of the other people in the city to know it too.
Yes.
You'll know who the family is. Groups or companies that might want to put money in for that, because that is a cause that people will go to, because there's always somebody in their family or they know somebody who is.
Yeah.
It'll be a nice change if we do something sooner. Just get us off the data center.
That's true.
I like the idea. So, we're working on it, Sasha.
And for what it's worth, if there's anything I can help with, I'm happy to write letters, stand at a podium. Let me know over time.
Yep. Definitely.
And then the first question was, is there anything in front of us the next year or so that's really problematic or something to think about planning for?
Staffing is always challenging.
Staffing.
I mean, that's just part, staffing is always challenging.
I would just say, I think recreation, we're done. I think we're in a really good spot, staffing-wise and recreation. I think parks is, like I've said to Scott, that's going to be our focus the next 3 to 5 years is fully staffed parks.
We're understaffed.
Yeah, for what we're asking this park staff to do when it comes to maintaining 40 parks, 30 playgrounds, installing the playgounds ourselves. I mean, you're talking very few park districts.
And look how much money you save by installing it.
Agreed.
We're prepping baseball fields. That doesn't really encourage anywhere else.
Ken, does the city understand that how much money that they're saving doing that? And
they probably don't have a number to it, but
they do. I think there's an understanding. That's why we were allowed to create the three formats and start separating that out. So we'll keep working on it. But our number one goal is to fully staff parks to the level of what's being asked. And that's what we're working on. But and it's not just even the little things, or not the big things. It's the little things of, you know, just getting trash now. I mean, it's
almost a full-time job.
We're going to have, like, Scott and I, we're going to pay overtime this year. We got to have, like, basically May 1st through September. We need someone here every Saturday and Sunday, you know,
or
just to get trash.
All over.
Good, the parks.
Just to empty trash.
And when you go to other towns, you see it.
And when you get something like Riverfront that's jam-packed on a weekend.
And you see, when people see that, though, it looks like unkempt.
Correct.
It's like, what kind of a place is this?
Right.
Yeah. I wish there was like a mini compactor that you could buy that just kind of like...
But what you'll get...
Chicago has it. The issue, though, is honestly, you could have a can every 20 feet of this one. It'll just be overflowing.
Yeah,
20 feet here is empty.
Right.
You know, it's peculiar, you can't stop human nature. I mean, you'll get someone to go do a birthday party at a park. They don't tell us about it. Trash cans overflowing because they fill it with pizza boxes, things like that. And then we'll get a picture, you know.
Well, what would you do?
Empty? Like,
a truck that would go to parks.
That's what we're
going to
do.
Yes.
Gene? You know, I was thinking about
rhetorical.
I mean, just throw...
Actually, it has to be one of my full-time guys.
Why is that? For union. Is that a union work?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't.
Anything after 3:30.
There's a couple people who just do it on their own.
I never thought of that.
No, I'm serious. There's a couple guys who just walk around.
And we have had people that, I have seen.
And nobody says anything to them. I think we ought to occasionally say thanks.
Volunteering is different.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and seasonal, too.
Yeah.
Right?
But just...
I think it gets...
It's excluded from the unit, right?
I don't think it can be seasonal.
But just, you know, the bigger picture, it's something like that.
During the day, it can be.
Big staff takes
it's things of that nature.
What's the best way for me to learn about, what's this called, SRA?
Special Rep Association.
I don't know anything about it.
I'll email you guys.
What's the best way for me to learn a little bit about it?
Go on their websites and just read.
I'll email you the Fox Valley Special Rep.
Are they in Oswego?
No.
Google it?
Fox Valley.
What?
Google it?
It's Google.
So it'll come back here eventually.
It's nice having the basketball right now. It's nice having those.
Okay.
The high school goes at the door so that you get in and out.
Yes.
It's really nice.
Yep.
I'm sure.
We're going to yell at you that, like, you did all of us this earlier.
There you go.
Well, George.
Any other things before we adjourn? Yes.
Give this 30 seconds. We don't even need to discuss it at length. I'm just going to ask the question and look at your face and I'll know. But, you know, regarding like things ahead of us that might be problematic, I just wonder, have scooters and e-bikes and all that stuff been problematic? And just something to think about if we haven't already.
We do get complaints about it all the time in our parks.
It's real bad.
The police are aware of it.
Okay.
It's everywhere. It's not just.
Didn't Oswego just pass a comprehensive ordinance about it?
It's been talked about.
I think they did.
I think
there might be some legal challenges that yet there because
I don't through the state of Illinois.
Those pedals, yeah, those pedals.
30 seconds.
We're working with the police department.
Opened up a can of worms.
I didn't drop the mic.
Yeah. So basically right now is we're working with the police department on it, and anytime Scott and his staff sees an issue, we're putting together a spreadsheet of just a running list of where the issues are at, things of that nature, and then trying to work with the police department on it.
Yeah.
It's not just in parks. They're on sidewalks. They're all over the place. Right?
And they don't stop. They'll come to an intersection.
No, they don't follow the rules of the road.
They don't care the car's there or not. They're zipping right through it.
But because they're kids, too.
Yeah, kids.
Not all of them, but a lot of them.
Do you think the police are going to spend the time to stop them and ask for their age?
Actually... I will tell you, like, in our neighborhood, we've had they've been reported, and we've contacted the police to let them know the address.
Correct.
And the families have been told, and the parents are like, okay, great. And then The kids are doing it again.
That is the kind of help, though, that the police need.
Right, but, I mean, we have a kid in our neighborhood that takes his dirt bike and does a wheelie along cars.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, and the parents know, and that's just
how's it. How's it going over in the parking lot?
Circle, yeah, we get combined.
What's it called?
Because they ride up and down the sled rails.
Nothing going up and down the hill?
Yeah. Yep.
That would be made for the sledding and their...
Oh, yeah. It was bad when we were doing
But that's everywhere. I mean, they go...
The book signing.
Because they...
Yep.
Yeah, they just...
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not just in your... It's everywhere.
It is, yeah.
It's harder, actually. You're talking about a pedal bike, but I'm talking about mini bikes.
You mean pedal?
I'm talking about mini bikes.
Oh, yeah.
They're a little 8-year-old kid.
The smaller ones. With
literally going down... Green Main Road in Greenbrier, and he's with his two brothers who are on bigger motorcycles, and this little guy, right with them, and they talk to the parents, but the parents have to step up and
they're at night.
Or you see the dads that are on the little bikes.
They're at nighttime with no reflectors on. I mean, I hit one the other day too. It's dark out there.
There's different class of e-bikes. Some of them will go 30 plus miles an hour, I believe.
When we're doing the book signing in Heartland. There were little kids on mini bikes, and the parents were standing there just watching.
The parents, that's a problem. That's Chief will tell you that. Chief will tell you that.
I mean, that's just.
We have 14 kids going down the street, and then on the sidewalk, this older lady, our neighbor, almost ran her over.
Yeah.
She called the police. I mean, you don't know who they are. You can't tell who they are. They disappear. Cops are chasing them. They just going down. Yeah.
They can't really find anything. You can't grab a hold of somebody's kid.
You can't. It's like,
you can't do that. It's not old school anymore.
What do you mean?
No, but it's a
you can't important try and handle it yourself.
Yeah. No, you can't.
There's a kid that literally knocks on somebody's
motion to adjourn.
Driving.
Oh yeah. You're done now. Okay. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank everybody for coming tonight and giving your time. We'll have a motion to adjourn. Our next meeting is going to be March 19th. Everybody have a good year until then, and we need to have a
roll call. Before then, St. Patrick's Day, March 14th. We're counting on you.
What's that? 14th.
St. Patrick's Day.
Roll call, please.
Lane. The chauffeur surface.
Lane.
Yes.
Forrestal.
Yes.
Wilberg.
Yes.
Ayala.
Yes.
Dumanovic.
Yes.
And Hall.
Yeah.
What do we do for Forrestal? What do we do for Hall? What do we do on the same page?